Good morning and welcome to the end of the week. Friday, the 26th of June, and I've been up since well before light. Working through the overnight reading, with a cup of coffee going cold beside me. Today has a particular shape to it. Four stories that are really about artificial intelligence meeting the real world, its rules, its physics, its workplaces, and its frontier. So grab your coffee and let me take you through them. First up, and it's the story I'd lead with this morning, is a shift in how OpenAI's next model is going to reach the world. Its newest system, call it GPT 5.6, is reportedly not going to launch the way its predecessors did. Instead of a broad public release, the company plans to hand it first to a small circle of close partners, and it's doing that at the request of the federal government. The reporting here comes from The Information, by way of TechCrunch. At an internal meeting this week, Sam Altman reportedly told staff that the government would be approving access, customer by customer, during a preview window, and that if that limited rollout goes smoothly, OpenAI hopes to follow with a wider release a couple of weeks later. The two agencies said to have asked for the restricted release are the Office of the National Cyber Director and the Office of Science and Technology Policy, and OpenAI's people are described as having worked closely with the government on the launch. What's new here is the mechanism. Earlier this month, an executive order directed certain AI companies to voluntarily submit new models to the government for testing and evaluation before releasing them to the public, and GPT 5.6 looks like the first frontier model to actually move through that pipeline. The stated reason is cyber capability. These models have grown markedly better at finding and exploiting software vulnerabilities and at writing working malware. And the worry is that a freely available model strong enough to do that faster than any human analyst could tilt the balance toward whoever wants to cause harm. Because the most capable versions stay behind closed doors, it's genuinely hard to measure how dangerous they are, which is part of what makes a gating decision like this so consequential. The move also lands OpenAI in roughly the posture Anthropic took on its own initiative earlier this year, when it kept its frontier cyber model, Claude Mythos, limited to a small set of partners under a program it called Project Glasswing, on the argument that the model was simply too powerful to release openly. So what we're watching take shape is a precedent, a staged customer-by-customer preview of a flagship general-purpose model, reviewed by federal offices before it reaches everyone else. For anyone tracking how quickly new models get into your hands, the practical implication is a slower, more discretionary path from a finished training run to a public release. Whether that broad release actually arrives a couple of weeks later, as promised, is the detail I'll be watching. Our second story is about the ground all of this runs on, the silicon. IBM has built a prototype chip that carries roughly 100 billion transistors on a piece of material about the size of a fingernail. That's about twice the density of the company's previous best, from 2021. And the interesting part is how they got there, because they did not get there by making the transistors smaller. For more than half a century, chip makers made computers more powerful by shrinking the transistor, the tiny switch that does the computing. But transistors are now only a few dozen nanometers across, close to the point where quantum mechanics starts to interfere with how they work. They can't really get any smaller, so IBM did what a city does when it runs out of land. It built up. The new design, which they call a nanostack, stacks transistors vertically in two layers on a single chip, a structure known as a complementary field effect transistor. Against its own previous architecture, IBM says the new approach can do as much as 50% more work in the same time and run up to 70% more energy efficient. The way they build it is almost like a cake. They fabricate transistors on a first layer of silicon, lay a second sheet of silicon on top, build a second set of transistors directly on that, and then wire the two layers together. IBM says its trick is to stagger the upper transistors rather than sit them right on top of the lower ones, which makes the wiring simpler. To give you a sense of the scale, the channel inside each transistor is made of three nanosheets, each one 15 atoms thick, spaced 9 nanometers apart. IBM markets this as a sub-nanometer, or 0.7 nanometer generation, but that's a naming convention, not a real measurement. the actual spacing between transistors has sat near 40 nanometers for years. The reception was unusually warm for an architecture announcement. The director of IBM Research called it a meaningful leap forward and said he expects to see this kind of stacking widely used in data centers within a decade. An analyst at Tech Insights called it transformational and said it adds another 10 to 15 years to the industry's roadmap. The hard problems are heat and yield. A stacked chip fails if either layer fails, which drives up cost, and you have to build the top layer without melting the connections underneath, which means keeping the process below 400 degrees Celsius. But for a field where progress is increasingly bounded by power and packaging rather than raw lithography, a credible path to denser, more efficient chips is the kind of thing that quietly determines what we can afford to train and to run. Third, this morning, a striking set of numbers from inside OpenAI about how its own employees are using its coding agent, Codex. The company's economic research group looked at how heavily its people lean on the tool, measured by the change in output tokens among active internal users, comparing this month against last November. And the growth is steep. In the research organization, that median usage rose by a factor of 56. In customer support, 32. In engineering, 27, and in the legal department, which grew more slowly, it still reached 13 times its November level. For context, as recently as last August, the average OpenAI worker spent less than 10% of their tokens on Codex. So this is a sharp climb from a low and recent base. What I find interesting isn't the raw multiples, it's where the growth showed up. It was the research team, not engineering, that posted the biggest jump, and the increases appear across functions you wouldn't think of as code-heavy, like support and legal. OpenAI frames this as agents reshaping work in every department, handling longer-running, more cross-functional tasks rather than one-shot completions. The newsletter that surfaced this, AI News from the Latent Space team, treats OpenAI's internal usage as a leading indicator. A company with unlimited free access to its own tools and every reason to use them is about as high as adoption can go, and even there, it only took off once the workflow around the model caught up. And that's really the lesson buried in the numbers. Those employees had unlimited access the whole time, and by the report's own account, they were underusing the tools well into late last year, with no cost standing in the way. The inflection came when the organization built the review loops, the tooling, and the persistent, multi-step workflows that let an agent be trusted with longer tasks. That's a useful corrective to the assumption that a better model automatically turns into proportional productivity. The curve is real, and it's large, but it's tracking the maturing of the scaffolding around the model, at least as much as the intelligence of the model itself. If you're trying to get agentic coding to land in your own team, the bottleneck is probably organizational, not whether the model is smart enough. And the fourth and final piece today takes us from the screen toward the physical world. A startup called General Intuition has raised $320 million at a valuation of $2.3 billion to turn video game footage into agents that can act in the real world. That brings its total funding to $454 million after a $134 million round when it launched last October. The new round was led by Kosla Ventures with a notable roster behind it, General Catalyst, Jeff Bezos, Eric Schmidt, the racing driver Nico Rosberg, and researchers at Google DeepMind and MIT. The company is a spin-out of Metal, a gameplay clip platform run by its chief executive, Pim DeWitte. And the bet is that the enormous library of recorded gameplay sitting inside a service like that is unusually good fuel for training agents that reason about space and motion. The technical idea is specific, and it's the part worth holding on to. What matters, they argue, isn't the video itself, it's the action labels attached to it, the record of exactly which buttons a player pressed and when. Pair the pixels with the actions that produce them, and a model gets the cause and effect structure that passive video alone never captures. General Intuition is building a single foundation model for what it calls spatial-temporal reasoning, meant to generalize across gameplay, simulation, and physical embodiment. For demonstrations, they showed an agent playing a Fortnite-style game for 100 hours straight, and a four-legged robot that learned to walk after being fine-tuned with just 8 minutes of real-world data on top of the pre-trained model. That claim, strong transfer from game actions to a physical robot with only minutes of real-world tuning, is the crux of the whole pitch, and the thing I'll want to see hold up as more results come out. The company was co-founded by Dewoodie, along with Aloy Alonso, Adam Jelly, and Vincent Michelli, several of whom come out of world models and reinforcement learning research. Most of the new money is going toward compute through a deal with CoreWeave, and they plan to open the model up through a programming interface by the end of the summer. The deeper thread here is a question the field keeps circling. Where do you find enough action-labeled data to train agents that act rather than just describe? General intuition's answer is that we've been generating it all along, every time someone picks up a controller. So what was this morning really about? Four stories, four places where artificial intelligence stopped being an abstraction and ran into something solid, a government deciding who gets to use the most capable models, the stubborn physics of a transistor that can't shrink any further, the slow human reality of a workplace actually changing its habits, and the leap from a game controller toward a robot's first steps. The frontier isn't only about how smart the models get, it's about all the real-world edges they're pressing against now. There's more in the full digest if you want to go deeper on any of it, and a long tail of research papers I didn't have room for this morning. For now, thank you for spending part of your Friday with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep reading and keep your curiosity close.